You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Bison Report Radio Podcast here live from the Bison Report Studios in beautiful Horace, North Dakota, potentially for the last time. Got some moving and shaking coming potentially here at Bison Report, and what a bunch of memories we have here in the Bison Report Studio in Horace. Had Coach Richmond in here. We've had NFL guys in here. We've had obviously Zach and Blake and Quinn and everyone in here. For potentially the last time from the Bison Report Studios here in Horace, Bison Report Radio. Joining me now, Blake Ingebrigtsen. Blake, how are you?
I'm doing well. Glad I got to be a little bit a part of the Bison Report Studios. I'm just looking around at some of the stuff in here, the Sam Griesel and the Bozeman block, all the things. But no, it's a big week. It's been quite the day in the sports world. No doubt about that. The Chauncey Billups stuff is what I've got on my mind right now, but we'll focus on the...
You mean a sitting head coach in the NBA being arrested by the FBI is odd to you?
Connected to the mafia? Yes, indeed. A little bit, but no, an exciting day. Up at the Shack later tonight. Folks, get up there.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, big week Saturday. I'll be down there. I can't wait.
Into the news. NDSU men's basketball will be on CBS Sports Network twice, both on January 3rd versus ORU and on Valentine's Day at UND. Football injuries. Mekhi Collins has an ankle, probably only available in emergencies. Against South Dakota State, duty's all right, but doubtful for this week. And Vanderpool, at being 50-50 right now, would be pretty massive. We can talk about that a little bit later, but I think they can survive the duty injury if Vanderpool can go. But as Coach pointed out, I mean, you cannot ask Logan Larson and Keenan Wilson to play the entire game, even if you were to rotate Elijah Wayne in, pretty full time and try to get through that game with three defensive tackles. I don't know how realistic that is. Does Uliano have to play some D-tack? Does, like, you start looking at the defensive end room and, maybe you even start looking at the offensive guard room, and it's like, who can get us 7-8 snaps on early downs? You never know. You never know where this defensive tackle group might be. So that is one certainly to watch. Carson Williams, and then we mentioned Ryan Babbitts has played in three games. That one is a decision to be made, obviously. A fourth game means the red shirt, and then a fifth game means no red shirt, right? So he has, if they want to keep him as a red shirt, they can only play him one more time. Is this the week? Is it Grand Forks? Is it, who knows? Both you and I went to the exhibition at Minnesota. 80-54 was the final score. I thought there was plenty of NDSU fans there. The Bison led 23-18 at one point. And then were outscored 62-31 for the rest of the game. And that would be the last 31 minutes. They had it within nine. North Carolina, via Belmont transfer, Cade Tyson, hit six threes, 28 points. The concerning thing for me, and obviously they're not going to play Big Ten length and athleticism every night, but last year's team had a chance to beat Butler because they shot the hell out of it. And, you know, super different squad, right? No Tejavis, no Mason Miller, no Brennan Watkins, no Jackson Mone, like a lot of, no Jakari White, for example. Different squad. And you could tell there was a little bit more length. You could tell there was a little bit more athleticism. You could tell, I thought this group has a few more ball handlers, even maybe. Especially on the wing. Like, we knew Damari and Andy could handle the ball, but I thought Tay Smith was a decent ball handler. I thought Travion Carson was a decent ball handler. But somebody has to shoot. or you know what I mean? Like, someone's got to put the ball in the hole. And those total shooting number at 35%, three-point shooting number at 21%, and then the free throw shooting number, which oftentimes, like a coach will tell you, your free throw shooting percentage will tell you how good of a shooting team you have. That part was concerning. With that said, Big Ten defense, Big Ten atmosphere, exhibition, first game together. I can throw every excuse at you that you want. 11 guys played at least 10 minutes. Stefanowicz starting. DWT, 22 minutes played. Like, my big takeaway from that whole thing was just, can this team shoot?
Yeah, and five threes, like, it's not going to get done in 2025 basketball. You know, they're not going to probably make 383s that they make last year? Something crazy. And, you know, I think there's guys on the team that can shoot, but there's no Mason Miller who's just hucking up, you know, a 0.4 release, you know, second release and making 93s. I don't know if there's that kind of guy on the team this year. I don't know if there's a Jakari who can hit 88 threes and average 20 points a game.
I'm squirreling away Tay Smith stock.
Are you?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm putting it in my portfolio, hoping for robust returns down the line. But yeah, if there is a guy not named Markai or Fetty that makes, or either of the point guards, so now I'm really not making that bold of a but if there's a guy that wasn't on the team last year, that wasn't on the all-league preseason teams, that makes the all-league team, Tay Smith. That's the stock that I'm buying. That's the stock that I'm squirreling away.
I can get behind that. Yeah, like you said at the beginning, like he can handle the ball. Like, he's not just a stand in the corner and, you know, your typical two guard. He can do some things. Like, and from what people have said, he's a natural scorer. Not his best game, obviously, but to me,
there will be defenders that aren't like that.
Right, and that's the thing. The thing I put in, like, got overwhelmed. I thought in the second half they got just overwhelmed with length and size, and it was just like, all right, it caught up to him a little bit. I don't know what the rest of the Summit League looks like in that regard, because everybody has 10 new players all the time.
Yeah, and but they don't look like Nico Medved's Gophers. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Not everyone looks like Jalen Crocker Johnson and is 6'8",
right,
large and long. So, and again, it's the first game together. I mean, last year, we remember the Moorhead game last year, almost lost.
Yeah.
And I know Moorhead is good.
Choppy.
And we'll get into
it. Was good. They all play for Denver now.
Right. And we'll get into that here in a second, but yeah. Like, you know, and some of those guys didn't even play like the rest of the year for Moorhead, and they still were one of the better teams in Division II, and they almost got beat on their home floor by a D2 team, and that's kind of like, okay, well, yeah. They won 20 games from there on out. And speaking of Moorhead, though, like I said earlier, fun night tonight up at the Dome, oh my goodness, up at the Shack.
You can park at the Dome and walk to the Shack.
Well, most people will.
Yeah.
But Red River Hoops for Charity, that's a cool deal that they're doing tonight. You know, go on GoBison and go look at that. I believe each team has a charity they're donating to for every, I want to say maybe every point score or something like that. But cool deal there. Again, it's the second year in a row they're playing, right? Like we said, they won last year 67-63. I mean, folks don't remember, NDSU didn't lead until like 3 minutes left in the game. Like, it was that kind of deal. Like, I mean, Jacob Beninga, C-A-W-B, cold white boy. I mean, he was cooking. Carson Johnson didn't even, you know, the guy that went to Denver and is picked to be an all preseason guy, he didn't even play until like December. So, but a new team, Jason Kemp, and that's an interesting one. I didn't even know this about Jason Kemp until he was hired, that he was a Bison assistant.
Dave was in his wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're boys.
So that's kind of a cool deal for them. Yeah, I don't know. What are you looking to see this night, tonight from this deal?
You know, definitely what this team looks like against this group, right? It's just not going to be the same, certainly the same length of humans. And it's not like NDSU is particularly big either.
No.
Especially if you're not going to play Trayson and Fetty together, and they don't, and they shouldn't. But like Markai playing, I mean, Markai is basically Greasel from a body type standpoint, not necessarily from a skill set standpoint, but you're back to having that type of body at the four. And then, you know, basically shooting guard type bodies at the two and three, and either Damari or Andy at the one. Because Travion Carson playing the two at 6'3", that's maybe a generous 6'3", or excuse me, playing the three. And Tay Smith, so if you've got Andy starting, you're going 6'2", 6'2", 6'3", at the 1, 2, and the three. So there is not length there. Unless you're just strictly talking about arm length. No, there is athleticism. Carson and Smith are athletes. And Andy's a good athlete too. But that style, I think, has a chance in the Summit League just to be just fine. Against the high major, I think it was just kind of an uphill slog. Especially the way that Nico built that team out. So I'm interested to see, because I would guess, and I don't know, because I don't think MSUM has played a game, even an exhibition. They have not. This is what they're doing. I would still guess that their starting lineup is going to look, from a height weight standpoint, is going to look more like NDSU's starting lineup did than the Gophers, because the Gophers just on the floor just looked bigger, physically bigger.
Well, they were. I mean, but you know, MSUM, they got a bunch of new guys too, right?
They do.
Yeah, I believe looking at 7 transfers and 5 of them are D1 dropdowns. Okay, so there's D1 bodies here, right? Now, I don't have the roster in front of me, and I don't know who those 5 are exactly, but it'd be interesting to see how they match up in that way, because I don't know. Even last year, like, you have Brennan Watkins at the 1, Jakari, well, I guess Jakari is more kind of the 3, and Mason Miller in there. Were any of those guys above 6? Was Jakari 6'3", roughly?
Something like that, yeah.
So it's pretty similar, right? And if you have Damari in there, I mean, Damari is not that much taller than I am.
Right.
So, but Jakari had some alien-like athleticism, too, that I don't know that anyone on this team does, other than Strickland, maybe. And Strickland's 6'6". So, and that's the thing. I don't know what to expect. I want to see how, just another look at him.
Yeah.
Against, like you said, guys that are not in the Big Ten, that are not 6'9", and 190 pounds, and, you know, arms as long as, I mean, my legs.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
So, yeah, fun night. Fun night ahead.
They're picked 7th in the NSIC last year. It's one of the better leagues in D2. They won the championship last year. They won the NSIC 3 of the last 4 years. Here's the problem. Berge left for Denver, became the Summit League's problem, took Carson Johnson with him, took Logan Kinsey.
Sean Wysocki, I believe his name is.
So Will Kinsey still plays for MSUM. How about that? And Dandridge, and then Beninga and Price just are out of eligibility finally. Did not go with the Denver. Jason Kemp, the new head coach. Seven transfers. Hostreiter's back. They've got that Adam Jenkins from Moorhead is back. He's now a third-year sophomore. Yeah, it'll be interesting because he played last year. Jenkins did, the tall kid from Moorhead High. Yeah, we're not going to spend a ton of time breaking down the matchup. I just, like I said, we saw, you know, them up a couple levels, right? Now we're seeing them down a level as far as an opponent, right? The Gophers being, you know, if you take NDSU Summit Leagues here, then you've got kind of those G5 leagues, Mountain West, Valley, whatever. And then the Power Five, well, I would say the NSIC is at the top of D2, which would be right below the bottom of D1.
Yeah, the Sun is really, it's, if you're sleeping on the Sun, okay, like, you're going to get slapped in the face a little bit because this league is elite. It really is. Like, and here's the thing, too, like, with scheduling, this is the U of M game is the only high major game they're really getting. Drake and Oregon State are their quote unquote pay games. Not Butler, not. It was, I don't know if anybody heard, Ryan Padon, I believe it is how you say it, Illinois State's head coach, had some really interesting comments. Go look it up on Twitter if you want, but he's like, we're like 0 for 60 trying to schedule these high major games because.
They only want to schedule each other or a cupcake.
Yeah. That's exactly what he said. They want quad one or they want quad four.
Yeah.
They don't want to play Illinois State because what does that do for our metrics?
Right.
Nothing. So that's why we're.
If you lose, it's bad. And if you win, it's not that good.
Right. So you look at like some of the. NDSU got a few decent ones. I mean, they got Bakersfield, Montana, the usuals. I mean, that are pretty equivalent. So you're just not getting these other high level. And it's frustrating for mid majors. And actually, I don't know. I like that he's, of course, I mean, of course, in media, I like that when coaches say stuff that isn't just, you know, taking it one day at a time, whatever, whatever. But it's not a bad non-conference, I wouldn't say. I don't know if you'd agree or not, but, like, you get three home games that are D1 opponents. SIU is probably the big one. And they were under 500 last year.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Okay. Moving to football. Indiana State recap. We'll keep brief. Weird game. They didn't start very well. They didn't. Because the offense looked about as good as it has looked. Just moving the football down beautifully. You know, coach mentions first time all year they've kind of had a break not go their way. Tip ball. Pick, maybe not the greatest idea by Cole, but he misses the throw a little outside. Defender has outside leverage, pokes it back to the inside, and there's a player waiting to pick it off. It happens. Then the moxie from Mallory to call the fake punt. And, just ideal start for Indiana State, not ideal start for NDSU. Then you have the insane thing where coach just forgets to call a timeout.
Yeah.
Which he admitted to at the press conference. Just bananas. And then in the second half, after a 2.5 hour delay.
Oh, just about, yeah.
They just destroyed them. DJ Scott and Marika Panu combined for 190 rushing yards. They were just electric. I think they win 38-7 is the final.
Yep.
Cole Payton, first turnover of the year. And then you were paying attention to the Jaquise and Tony matchup with, Duffy really playing most of the time. Jaquise Alexander, 33 snaps, and then just 12 for Anthony Chidome Alfaro. It's good to have depth because, mostly, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, NDSU's corners play corner. There's not a ton of nickel work. The right. nickel is either Donovan Woolen or Jalen Crumbie, usually, as far as who actually lines up there. It's either Donovan Woolen for Jalen Crumbie. So for them to be able to rotate pretty solidly through multiple guys is good. South Dakota State. It's the game in the FCS. It's primetime national TV for The Rock, et cetera, et cetera. The last Brookings win was in 2019. No game day. It'll be on ESPNU, which is not great. Third time that it's number one versus number two in the last 4 years. It's the fourth one versus two in FCS history. Can I say something?
Absolutely.
This is going to come off as maybe a little bit homerish, I guess. And I know I think we're supposed to kind of stick up for the FCS. I don't care that this game is, or that game day didn't come to this game. What is new? SDSU is not the reigning national champion. They aren't the number one team. They've told this story. Like, all of the little things that you would say about South Dakota State and this rivalry were said. Like, go back and look at that college game day, those 3 hours. There's nothing more to say, really, except, hey, it's the Dakota Marker game again. Pat's already done the Pat stuff. You know, because he's boys with Vinatieri. I get that some folks might think it's a better game than the Vanderbilt game. But I think somebody said Vanderbilt hasn't hosted in like 15 years.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
They're top 10 in the country. Pavia is an unbelievable story. One of the most talked about, like, Heisman-ish guys in a while, because he's undersized and he's fun and he's a transfer and he runs around and he does all the Johnny Manziel stuff and this and that and the third. Like, to tell the Diego Pavia story, I think makes a ton of sense. And I would get it if they were coming to Fargo. Of course, Homer, right? 100%. Guys, game day hasn't been to Fargo since 2013. That other thing that they did in 2015 was Sports Center on the Road.
Right.
The actual downtown college game day that almost came back, I can't remember when, but they were booking hotel rooms, ended up going somewhere else. Like, it would make sense to come and tell that story where we were there 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago. Look at all the winning they've done since then. They're the defending champions. By the way, the setups are completely on two different levels. Like, the Brookings setup was fine. It was just on campus by some old building out in the cold.
Yeah.
You can ask Sam Ponder. You can ask Herbie. You can ask whoever. The downtown Fargo setup is one of the best that they do. It's one of the best that they get. Period. By the way, Nick Saban's ass isn't going to Brookings. Also, just not happening. So I thought that was a lot of to do. And then it was like not just, obviously, Rabbit fans. It was a lot of people. Pro FCS people, which we appreciate them, obviously. But it was a lot of, you know, people caping for South Dakota State. Like, oh, they should be in Brookings. Even Awful Announcing put out a tweet. They should be in Brookings. They've done that story. They've done that story more recently than they've done the Vanderbilt thing. I don't know what you go to Brookings and talk about other than this game. And this game has already been talked about on college game day 4 years ago or 6 years ago, whatever it is, when Trey Lance handed the ball off to Adam Cofield on fourth and one and NDSU ruined one of the biggest days in the history of South Dakota State athletics.
Yeah. This is getting, maybe I'm going to send astray here, but like, it's the same thing for the Brawl of the Wild. Like, I know that's because that's coming, right? There's been arguments about what's the biggest rivalry, whatever. Not that I really care.
I don't know why that matters, but anyway, yeah.
But because when that comes up, because that's...
We hate each other more. Okay. Like, okay.
Because that's going to come up too. Like, oh, they should, like, again, what's... Because they went there 1 year. I don't remember what year that was. They went to either Bozeman or Missoula.
But again, then, okay, they did it.
Right. And that's the thing. Like you're saying, like, what's happened since? Between them or in general, they've each
getting smacked around in Frisco is right. What's happened since.
So again, it's the same deal. And yeah, I get it. Like it's one versus two. It's a cool deal. You got Icy Vert, whoever that is, coming to the game.
I don't know who these snapback sports humans are.
I don't either. But it's like, what are we going to do in Brookings?
I'm loosely aware of who Icy Vert is just because I don't know. He's been. But I don't know the human's real name.
I don't either.
He's been online a lot.
Yeah, he's a Twitter demon. But,
yeah.
again, not to throw too much shade, but it's like, I'm going down to the game. I'm leaving at like 2 o'clock. Because what am I going to do, man?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I'm watching the game at Golf NXT, probably on a simulator bay. a 14-foot screen would be what I'm going to do.
And speaking of the game, and you touched on this a bit, but ESPNU, like you said, a little unfortunate.
Yeah, you don't love that.
So people remember the USD-SDSU game last year, late October, I think it was. That was on ESPNU. That only got 38,000 viewers. The marker game, in comparison, got 174,000.
Sure.
And
you might get an uptick, too. I mean, NDSU has a bigger brand. People will see North Dakota State and check in more than either South Dakota State or USD. It's not a massive national brand, but it's a bigger it's a bigger brand than SDSU or USD by quite a bit. And people know the marker game more than they know, would you say, SDSU, USD?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's a...
The Interstate Series, I think is what they call it, or sure, something, whatever.
Yeah. And honestly, I would guess that the marker would rate better than... We're not calling it the nickel, but whatever else we're calling. And I think the marker would draw more viewers than NDSU UND too.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyway. So South Dakota State, 64 new players, new staff. Had a death in the team, Nate White, the running back out of Wisconsin. They're still number two in the FCS. They still haven't lost the game. Jimmy goes to Wazoo, takes 16 players, potentially 11 or more recruits. They're 3-4 right now. Gronowski goes to Iowa. Griffin Woolley goes to Northwestern. Shout out to Northwestern and Bronny for everything that's going on right now. Bearson, Hawthorne, Stuffel. But then all but five starters are non-transfers. All these kids that they brought in lost out to guys already on the team. And by the way, it happened on a much smaller scale, but that happened at NDSU too. The corner from Texas Tech was going to lose, transferred. Uliano doesn't start. The Iowa State defensive tackle doesn't start. Chance Simons doesn't start. You can go on and on and on. DJ Scott doesn't start. It's people get excited about these dropdowns, and more often than not, if you can't play at a Power 5, you usually can't play at NDSU or South Dakota State. There are exceptions. There are guys that played a little bit that needed more tick, like Tamarick Williams. SMU didn't not play Tamarick Williams. They just didn't give him the amount of carries that he wanted. Comes to NDSU and becomes a star. There's versions of that for South Dakota State as well. But honestly, the kids that commit to these programs and get developed, they end up usually being more effective than these kids from Nebraska, these kids from Minnesota, these kids from, you know, wherever that that are at the bottom of their depth chart, the bottom of Iowa State's depth chart, the bottom of the Gopher depth chart, the bottom of the Husker depth chart. The bottom of those schools' depth charts cannot compete at a high level at the FCS level. It's just people have that misconception, and it's just not true. Anyway, Bison, first in scoring D, total D, pass D, defensive success rate, and yards per play. They are top seven in scoring offense, total offense, rush D, third down conversion percentage, both on offense and defense, top time of possession, and turnovers. South Dakota State is leading the country in time of possession, so that will be a fascinating one to watch. They are third in turnover margin, fifth in scoring defense, ninth in rushing defense, and third in third downs. So that'll be another huge thing. When NDSU has the ball, third down conversion rate, because SDSU doesn't like to give them up, and NDSU converts them at a super, super high rate. Playoff seeding, we'll see. As you mentioned here, like, both have to go to Grand Forks. I think if NDSU splits this game in Grand Forks, they're going to be a top two seed. It's the way that it works.
How much of that depends on what South Dakota State does,
though? I mean, we'll see.
It might depend on which game they win.
Sure. Okay.
Because, you know,
I don't know if a one-loss NDSU team has ever not been a one or a two seed.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. But
okay, well, because everybody always just assigns wins to all these top teams throughout, that they're not going to drop again. It's any given Saturday type of league. An NDSU team that either wins in Brookings or wins in Grand Forks, I just don't see as not getting home field advantage throughout. We'll see. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I don't foresee that.
Yeah, my only thing would be, so if Tarleton State wins out, you know, SDSU, let's say they win this week and then lose to UND. Okay, so both SDSU and NDSU are both 11-1, but SDSU is the head-to-head. Then it gets a little gray for me.
Yeah, common sense would tell you that the best two teams in the country are still NDSU and SDSU.
That is true, but also Sac State a couple years ago was 12-0, and they were the number two seed, and they got beat in the quarterfinals. So
yeah, we'll see.
We will see.
We'll see. Alex Bullock, Nebraska transfer, Lofton Ogroski. The skill guys are where South Dakota State has actual contributors from the transfer class. Because Loffridge, the tailback, is huge. You mentioned Bullock, Ogroski, and then...
Ogroski is a homegrown, but the other two...
Right, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yep, I'm sorry. You're right. But yeah, Bullock, Nebraska, and then their offense runs through the Fordham kid. You know, the Julius Loffridge, they're talking about Walter Payton stuff that isn't going to happen, but like they're talking about it. Chase Mason is basically a right-handed Cole Payton, to be honest, right down to the size, the athleticism, the sitting behind a legendary quarterback, the all of it. But it's, will he play or will he not?
I would find it extremely hard to believe that he would be out.
It depends, man. If it's really turf toe, he's out.
They're saying ankle, though.
Okay, well, then shoot it up with who knows what and play.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, if it's turf toe, I'm with you, because we saw the Joe Burrow deal.
People don't understand. People hear turf toe. I would never wish turf toe upon somebody. I would wish them to know what it feels like, because, brother, it's so debilitating. You certainly can't play football with turf toe.
Yeah, what we saw with Joe Burrow, he's out for basically the whole year with turf toe.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah. It's terrible, man.
But I think it's got to be an ankle deal. The only thing that for me is, what does that take away his mobility? Because the kid can move around. I mean, he's an athlete. I don't know the exact number. Cole Payton's first in the country in scramble yards, and I think Chase Mason's somewhere in the top 10 still.
Sure.
He moves around, he uses his legs. They're both different than last year, right? Because they were package quarterbacks, right? Come in, run the ball.
Yeah.
Come in, run the ball. Well, it's a little different this year. It's not like DJ Williams where it's just quarterback run game.
Yeah.
So if they, if he can he even flush out of the pocket if he has to? You know, if he has to run to his right, or is he just going to crumple to the ground? I don't know, but he's got some crazy arm talent. Also, like, if for people that don't know, this kid was committed to play Division I baseball at Nebraska.
I thought he played a year. Did he not?
I think he spent one semester there.
Okay.
So maybe, you know, a few fall ball games maybe.
It's fine. Yeah. I thought he actually went to school there and then came back. But my rabbit lore is not exactly, like, perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it is just the one semester. But, like,
I believe you.
just look at some of the stuff. I mean, this kid, I mean, he hit bombs, he threw gas, and he could catch everything. I mean, we talk about other athletes playing other sports.
Yeah.
And baseball players playing other sports, it's just different.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid's a freak athlete. Like, Paul's like, what was the word he said on Tuesday? I don't think he said freak show. Maybe he did. I don't know. But that's kind of him. He's kind of like Cole.
Yeah.
In some ways. Now, I think Cole is better. You can look at the stats, look, you know.
Right. For no, that. No. But, I mean, if I had to pick one, I would pick Cole, and the stats back that up. And, but I think they're close.
Yeah, well,
you want to hear a nuclear take? Certainly by the end of their careers, Cam Miller was more better than Mark Gronowski than Cole Payton is better than Chase Mason.
Oh, okay.
I think there was a bigger gap between Cam by the end and Gronowski than there is a gap between Cole and Chase.
Okay.
There's your take.
By the end of 2024. Oh, okay. I'll get behind that. Yeah, and I know you've had your take on that 2023 Walter Payton stuff, but
travesty. Okay, we got to get going. Defensively, Kobe Claiborne, I think, hit the portal and then bailed out and came back. Or maybe he never did. If you're an offensive coordinator in the Valley, you kind of wish you did.
Yeah.
Because he's nasty, and they line him up all over. And he's a problem, man. He's got 30 pressures, which is fifth in the whole subdivision. Chase Van Tol, I think, is in the Caleb Fransel position and is sick. I'm pretty sure NDSU recruited Chase Van Tol. Pretty darn sure. He can run. As could Fransel, but I think he's even a little bit bigger than Fransel, because Fransel, if we're all being honest, Fransel was a safety playing
100%
Sam linebacker. Love him. Like, if he would have wanted to portal to NDSU, sure. Caleb Fransel rules. Don't get that twisted. But Van Tol, I think, is even more of a linebacker body and can run. And I think Adam Bach's spot is being played by none other than Joe Ullman, and older Bison fans will remember his older brother, Bobby.
Yep.
Both are Wisconsin kids. I knew Bobby. I like Bobby. Bobby was a Packers fan, is obviously a Packers fan. I've had conversations with Bobby online about football stuff. A lot of respect for the Ullmans. And like I said, little bro, I think, is playing Mike. He's playing
I believe you're right, yeah. Spot.
And then the other, McShane, I think, is the other.
At the will, yeah.
Yeah, is the other linebacker. And that was, of course, Graham Spaulding's spot. They've been good. I don't know how many FCS. Like, Box, Spaulding, and Fransel are right there with Kopp, Staling, Woolen, with the exception that Woolen is from space and Van Tol maybe isn't, or Fransel, excuse me, that Fransel is a much smaller human being than Woolen.
Right.
But I think Spaulding and Kopp play at similar levels. Kopp probably a little bit better, but you might maybe take Adam Bach over Nathaniel Staling at this point in their careers. My point is, they are certainly playing at a high level after replacing an unbelievable linebacker core. He's they're doing a good job on the defensive side of the ball, is South Dakota State, as they have honestly done for a while now. The question would be, How healthy can Chase Mason be? Had the long touchdown run on that inverted wishbone nonsense when Cody Heisman killed Mark Gronowski.
Twice.
And ran out, and then there was some sort of late block on the I don't remember a lot of that first game. The playoff game is more in my memory. I think that was the playoff game was the Bryce game, and the first game was the Raja game.
Yes.
If I remember correctly. Both of those, of course, being at the Fargo Dome. Luke Marble is the backup. Came in with Eidsness from NIU. Marble is a more traditional quarterback. Marble would remind me more of a Cam Miller and I don't mean as a quality. Like, I don't think he is going to be someone that wins the Walter Payton or should have won the Walter Payton. But Marble is more of your standard QB in today's version of football, where you have to be able to move around a little bit, than the Chase Mason, Cole Payton. I am a linebacker, but I run a 4.5 and, yeah. and I have a rocket attached to my shoulder. These two guys for both teams are pretty crazy. A huge thing in this game, as you mentioned, is NDSU's defensive tackle depth. If Duttenheffer can't go and Vanderpool can't go, the guys that you would sort of trust, Elijah Wayne, true freshman. That's why I say sort of. And then, of course, Keenan Wilson has turned into an absolute superstar. And Logan Larson, who is a really solid kid who has put the time in and I think provides awesome depth. Now, if you're going to ask him to go out there for 60 plays, I think you're asking for trouble. Now, if there's 120 plays or 130 plays of defensive tackle to go around, can you divvy that up 45-40 with three guys? I don't know. That would be... And usually they when NDSU rotates, they usually send out either all four or two new DNs or two new D tackles. Like, guys kind of play in teams. So I think they'd like to have four guys. Obald would be the fourth defensive tackle. That would be the ISU transfer, number nine, fire hydrant looking kid. Kind of like Michael Buto, who resides up here in all his glory in the Bison Report studios in beautiful Horace. But it could be time to shine for the Iowa State transfer. Like I said, if it is an Obald, it's going to be some guard.
Is it Chase Evink? I mean,
Chase Evink, yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like that's asking a lot for guys who haven't played. But, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, obviously. But
yeah.
And how do you do that? Because, like you said, they put two in and maybe at a time kind of deal.
And I don't know. And I could be getting screamed at by a coach. But, like, Jack Lewinsky, do you put a third-year kid or a fourth-year kid? Maybe Jack's not the exact example. But do you put a veteran who weighs 300 pounds – for 6 or 8 or 10 snaps at nose tackle and just say, because all these kids played D-line in high school, or most of them did, right? Like, I'll never forget one of the years that I was in college. It must have been Rodgers' second year. And it must have been his third year because Green Bay won. The Vikings still had prime Adrian Peterson. Green Bay was so lost at defensive tackle. Do you remember TJ Lang, the guard?
Yep.
He played defensive tackle against the Vikings. Like 10, 12, maybe 14 snaps. They didn't change his position. They just said, you have to hit the center.
Yeah.
And that's what you had. And do you do that with a 21 or 22-year-old guard or center? Or do you send a Chase Evink out there? And you know what? If Chase is ready or Obald is ready, go. Go with God. It's interesting to see after you lose Heisman late and then you lose Duty and you potentially lose Vanderpool, you know, losing Heisman late in the process,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And not necessarily replacing him. And you're down to DT5, DT6, or DT7 on your roster. At what point is, like, pulling a red shirt not as useful as telling some guard, shout out Quinalo, I mean, shout out Bryce Messner, shout out a number of guys, Bryce Friday, for God's sake.
Yeah.
This is not some crazy harebrained scheme I'm coming up with. This has happened. So at what point do you not have like maybe a 250-pound true freshman? And Evink is bigger than that now. But I just mean like at what point is it just like, hey, Jack Lewinsky, go hit the center. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Or like a Ryan Babbitts at 300 pounds. I mean, that one probably wouldn't happen, but like... Well,
because of the redshirt thing is sort of my right. point.
The thing with Evink, he's played in one game, Chase Evink has, you know, so that would be a deal where he's still got three to work with. But I mean, and if Vanderpool plays, this is probably nothing.
Exactly. No, this is a nonsense conversation.
But I just don't...
Devin Lockerbie, 6'5", 310. Go get in the way.
That might be the move if you get down to it.
Josh Magan. Oh, Josh Magan
he
starts.
He
right. used to play defensive line, yeah.
It's a tough deal because, well, and Jack Hansen would actually be the one. He's a young D-tackle. He's a second-year D-tackle, but he tore his ACL
right
earlier in the year, or else he's probably the guy we're talking about here.
Caden Chadwick.
Yeah, Chaddy. One of my friends went to high school with him.
Go hit somebody in the knee. Hit the center.
I don't know what they're gonna do. Hopefully for them, you know, Vanderpool just
maybe it's
plays,
nothing.
But
right, maybe it's nothing.
It's just if you said like you're putting two in, two out, you send in Elijah Wayne and Obald in there at the same time.
You might stagger it.
Right.
It depends on who they view as a one and who they view as a three, too. Because I think Obald's a one.
Oh, yeah, he is at 5'11".
So Keenan Wilson is probably your other one, and Logan Larson and Elijah Wayne play the three. So however you want to, I don't care how you divvy that up.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know if SDSU
is a big Nathaniel Staling day because he might not be clean. That's all I'll tell you. He might have to blow up a center. He might have to get by a guard. Because I don't know if the defensive tackles are going to keep him completely clean.
Yeah, and for as that's his strength, though, run defense.
Yeah.
Just watch this guy just hunt down people in the run game.
I'm with you. You got to tell me.
Oh, I'm not telling you. I'm just saying, like, that's what he does.
You got to tell me nothing.
TFLs is going to be, you know, it's been his strength all year. I mean, he's fine in pass coverage, I guess, but... He's going to have to hunt Loffridge down a few times. But maybe that's an area STC looks to exploit. I don't know. There's a number of things this thing could come down to. What are some of yours, other factors?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be what it's been, which is the turnover margin. Not turning the ball over is going to be huge. I think third down is going to be huge. Yeah, we'll see, man. I've said this, and this isn't the way college football works, and I hope people don't view this as a pre-excuse, but like, I don't fear UND or South Dakota State. I don't love Brookings and Grand Forks, and what I mean by that is like. And look, both teams came to Fargo last year and lost. So I get it from their end 100%. If that UND game was played on Hillsborough's field, I would have zero fear that UND would even touch them. If this South Dakota State game was played at Watertown High, halfway in between the two schools, I wouldn't really be very worried. These are hostile environments. These are true road environments. And again, NDSU got this advantage last year. Don't get that twisted. I get it. North Dakota State is a better football team. They are the best football team in the country at the FCS level. You're seeing that in the Sagarin ratings. You're seeing that in Bill Connolly's like 337, where he ranks all the college football teams in the country. This is a historically good NDSU team. There have been historically good NDSU teams, historic national championship NDSU teams that have lost the marker game. That'd be a good stat. How many national champions have lost the marker game? How many of the 10?
Off rip?
No, not off rip.
Well, 17.
You're going to do this?
21. That's it.
You think it's just two?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Because they lost in 16, but they didn't win the title that year.
We're gonna pause. He was right. We paused and figured it out, and he was right.
Five big booms for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, South Dakota State won 21 spring, 21 fall, and then 2017. But the 21 fall win in Brookings preceded a NDSU national championship. But then losing in 22 and 23 preceded Rabbit championships. And then they won last year. Okay, how about that? Well, anyway, it still doesn't mean that you can't win the title because obviously it's been done twice. We'll see how this goes. And SDSU has won 33 straight at home. It's the fourth longest in FCS history. Blake, what do you got?
What do I got?
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, this environment, like you said, is a big deal. Like it is. I mean, and this might be the last outdoor game until I wrote Frisco, but it's Nashville.
It is Nashville.
Unless they have to go somewhere in the semis, whatever. It's the Mystery Six, the time of possession. Craig Haley had an interesting stat on Bison 1660 yesterday. 22 of the last 23 winners of this matchup have won time of possession, which is kind of crazy. That's one of those things in the environment, special teams. I know Coach P, that was a big deal. I think, like you said, the Bison are the best team in the subdivision. Just the resume might not be the best as far as the Massey, the strength of schedule and whatever. But from the eye test, I even got the Bison covering. 27-21 is what I got.
Okay. Yeah, this is honestly, we're here on a Thursday. This is the first time I've wrestled with this completely. I have not incorrectly, and that's kind of sad, I have not incorrectly picked this game since the spring of 21. Meaning that I picked SDSU fall of 21, and I picked SDSU in 2022, and I picked SDSU in 2023, and I didn't enjoy any of that. And I picked North Dakota State twice last year. So we're hot. We're on a roll. I just think people forget how good NDSU is on the road. And the fact that this is in Brookings is really mitigated by the fact that most of NDSU's weird losses come at home, with I think the biggest exception being 2 years ago going up to Grand Forks and getting smoked. But that's just weird. That's just a terrible place where terrible things happen. This is going to shock a lot of people, but I like the Bison. I'll tell you what. I think as long as NDSU isn't down multiple scores at half, even if the Bison are down 7 at half, I like the Bison. They just can't be down 10. And maybe they come out and they punch people in the mouth and they're up 10 or 14 at half. They've just been so good making adjustments at halftime and so good coming out of the locker room that as long as it is a game, I think the Bison win. I think the Bison win 31-23. And bring the rock back home. That is what I think. I want to thank Gateway Chevrolet. I want to thank you, Blake, for being here. I want to thank the beautiful city of Corpus for having us for these probably 5 years. And have a great rest of your weekend. Bye-bye.